Hey everyone, it's Aspen Luz here. Before my husband jumps on board with the Brenton on Tour coffee podcast, I'd love to take a moment and talk a little bit about Rebel for a Change. Let's just start off the conversation by saying addiction doesn't stop because we're silent. Rebel for a Change is a nonprofit movement which empowers individuals walking alongside their loved ones battling addiction to break the silence and find community. I mean, that's huge, right? Think about the individuals who are actually suffering with substance abuse. You hear so much about their journeys, so much about their recovery, but what about their support system? What about their family members? What about me? What about even possibly you? There are so many of us who've been living in silence for far too long, and we suffer right alongside of them. So the mission of Rebel is to amplify this conversation, to allow others to realize they're not alone loving somebody in active addiction and towards recovery. But taking this conversation a bit deeper, Rebel's been given the opportunity to launch a platform in early 2020, which will allow individuals to connect with a champion who can help them along their journey and what this journey looks like and to better understand it so they don't lose sight of themselves while trying to help their loved one. If you want to hear more about what we do and how you can get involved, head over to our website, rebelforachange.com. Okay, now settle in, pour a cup of your favorite coffee, and enjoy my husband Ray Luzier and his buddy Brent Fitz on the Brenton on Tour podcast.
Oh, no thanks. I can't drink coffee late at night. It keeps me up.
First pot!
You're listening to the Brenton on Tour Coffee Cast, brought to you by things that make coffee, people who make coffee, people who love coffee, and maybe just coffee. You have no idea who he is, but he's on the search for the best coffee in the world. So pour a cup, grab a seat on the John, and maybe, just maybe, you'll stop drinking shitty coffee. It's the Brenton on Tour Coffee Cast with your host, that guy you don't know. Here's BD.
Brand new KXM, brand new toque. You, my friends, you listeners, are going to be spoiled to death this week and potentially next week, depending on how long we take this thing. I got Ray Luzier. I got Brent Fitz. Gentlemen, welcome to the Brenton on Tour podcast. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, Ray. Donnelly.
Hey there, Fitzy. What's up?
I love it. I can't believe we're finally getting to talk on a podcast about coffee. And even better that I'm with my dear friend Ray, who we were just about to say we hadn't seen each other in a while, but it's good to connect on a podcast nonetheless.
Absolutely. It might have been Vegas. I was thinking about it. We were talking earlier. I think I saw you in Vegas somewhere in a lobby.
Yeah, most likely. That's how it is on tour now, hey? Like, none of us actually see a lot of each other in the most normal place, like, hey, we'll go down the street from our houses for coffee. No, you run into someone in the in the faraway places. I mean, I do know, Brent Donnelly, you and I had two little run-ins. We did coffee in Vienna, Austria a couple months ago, right? At about 3 a.m. And then I think a month before that, we were both in Perth, Australia. And you were on two different tours at that time, or were you on Rod Stewart? I forget.
No, I was on Lauryn Hill in Perth, and then I was on Rod Stewart in Vienna. So
yeah, you're a busy guy. You're catching up to Ray and I now for your your air miles.
And for our friend and for our listeners who live in a hole, part of this journey that I'm on is obviously trying to find the best coffee in the world, but also bringing great coffee people on, whether it be baristas, whether it be, you know, coffee makers, roasters, like we had Jeremy on, and I've got, you know, Tim Wendelbo coming up. There's some really great guests with great stories, but this is drummer explosion talk here, my friends. I've got two of the busiest, best drummers in the world of rock. Ray, tell our friends all the bands that you're playing with, which is probably 14 right now. How many bands are you playing with right now?
We're the two best drummers on this call right now.
Yeah, you certainly are, because the guy talking to you stopped drumming about 10 years ago. So there you go.
Yeah, but you are a drummer. So there we go.
That's right. It is a drummer thing.
three Jummas walk into a bar. The whole drum slot thing kind of went away years ago. I've been really focused on Korn. That's my main band. October starts my 13th year, and very fortunate and lucky to still be playing at this level. You know, I'm really stoked. Brent, you know, you just got off the tour with me with Alice in Chains, and that was a huge success. And I just couldn't believe the turnouts. You know, what a fun package. Everyone was great. No egos, attitudes, you know, none of that. It was just great rock every night. And I have a side band called KXM with Doug Pinnock and George Lynch, which I'm such big fans of both of theirs. And we're on our third record right now called Circle of Dolls. And Korn, The Nothing just came out, and KXM, Circle of Dolls. I'm very happy with both those releases.
It's been a pleasure being out there on tour and watching you play every day, buddy. It's been a real blast. And realized that I got out of the drumming game at the perfect time, because holy shit.
Oh,
it was great watching you bring the metal every night. Fitzy, tell the world what's going on, man.
Well, let's just back up quick. I watch Ray's Instagram every day for his live awesome. Is it GoPro? How do you film? GoPro or something behind the kit? It's the best. And I actually was talking to the Sabian guys the other day. I go, fuck, Ray's, you know, Instagram is so awesome to watch because it's just such a big, exciting spectacle. That those songs and, you know, the kit looks awesome and sounds awesome. And so
thanks, man.
It's like my drum porn of the day. I wake up and I'm on Instagram and I'm like, hey, what's where's Ray today? So awesome.
No, it's just GoPro stuff, and it's sometimes just straight up iPhone. I'm not fancy at all, you know?
No, it looks awesome.
Thank you.
Love it. Yeah. Hey, drummers, we're always inspired by each other. I find it's a kindred spirit, and drummers are, you know, we always seem to feed off each other. And I can't speak for, you know, sometimes guitar players or singers, but, you know, I'm definitely a drummer. I'm a musician, but a drummer, you know, by design, and seems like we all, you know, it's just great to always have that same kind of spirit.
You're a way better guitar player than I am, though, as a drummer.
Well, you know, I did start out on piano and melody instruments, and I defaulted into drums basically because of, in the neighborhood, everybody played guitar, and we were all into Kiss, you know, it was the late 70s, and it was the band that everyone wanted to mimic, but there was so many, everyone wanted to, you know, spit blood and be Paul Stanley and Ace Frehley. And I was like, well, I guess I'll, you know, someone's got to round out the band. And I always loved Peter Criss too. But so I just became a drummer by design of the neighborhood, you know, like, okay, Brent's the drummer in the Kiss tribute band. So here we are like 30, 40 years later, and I'm still the drummer. But yeah, I've been playing bass most recently with Took, my other band. So a lot of people just in the last little while are looking at internet stuff and hearing the new song, and they're like, well, wait a minute, Brent, you're not the drummer in the band? I just saw you with Slash on tour. I'm like, no, I'm the bass player.
And I think that's so rad, because Shane Gallis is a really good buddy of mine. He was kind of a student of mine at MI, although he taught me as much as I taught him. But I saw you and him standing in a photo, and I'm like, wait a minute, why is there, they have a double drumming thing?
What's up with that? You know that Shane had to fill in for me recently because I had a detached retina on the last couple of weeks. And it was so great that, the call came into Shane, who's in my other band. And it's like, you know how it is. The apple never falls from the tree. And next thing you know, Shane's out playing with Slash, filling in and doing an awesome job too. So
totally.
See, again, kindred spirits, all drummers looking out for each other.
Most of us don't have the whole ego attitudes thing going on. I don't know what's up. I mean, I don't know. We're more of like a drumming brother community, you know?
Yeah, no, it's pretty obvious. By the way, so I haven't tried the Korn coffee yet, but I know I know a guy. I think I need to check out some Java.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm so happy with it. And Brent did not too long ago with our partner, he did a podcast with Jeremy Gersey, and he really did such a great job with it. And you know how it is. A lot of people have coffee companies and wine companies and even whiskey and whatever, but it's to get the right kind of bean. And especially when you're coffee freaks like we are, it takes a certain special prospects involved. And man, Jeremy really did a good job.
Yeah, I just Googled and was reading up on a whole bunch of stuff yesterday from him, because I had just seen the connection. And I thought, well, obviously this guy knows his stuff. And then I realized he's been doing this for a long time and has a whole connection to. Now, is all your stuff based in LA? Is that where all the the roasting and his stuff is based?
No, he's actually got a big old roasting facility in Vegas. That's his main hub. But he spends a lot of time in LA. And the guy was Tom Cruise's personal barista for over a decade. I mean, like you say to yourself, yeah, how could you be someone that big, you know, making him coffee and smoothies? But that's how good the guy is, you know. And Cameron Diaz, and he's got a bunch of people on his roster. But
so basically, you have your own barista now.
yeah, totally, yeah. But
it was me for at least 10 shows because I got the lever presso and we started making espressos out of the corn coffee, so it was fun.
Yeah, Brett would hit me up like any time, hey man, you want some? I'm like, dude, you don't even have to ask, just bring it on. He's like, well, you got a show in 2 hours. I'm like, that's fine, I need it even more now.
So hey, when you get up in the morning and you start your day, are you doing coffee in a hotel room before you even leave the hotel room, or are you like, you go to it? What's your like daily routine?
Well, it's kind of, you know, Brent was helping me out. Like he would text me like, hey, 3 blocks from the hotel. We stayed in the same hotels a lot. And he was nice enough to say, hey, come to this one. And I was so busy on this past tour doing, you know, promoting 2 records and just stuff at home and Skyping kids and whatever. But, I do like to go to the local places and really check them out. You know, you'll rarely catch me at a Starbucks or a, you know, anything like that. I love checking out locals. So, but if it's a decent coffee, like there's some places have coffee bean pods and stuff like that. I'll make a cup just to get me going, you know, just because I need that smell and I need the taste of it, you know.
I think the best scenario is not so much when we're in America, but over in Europe when they have those espresso machines already in the room. It's a little more, it's geared for us coffee guys. And I find that in America, I get Yelp going on my phone and I'm out the door and I try to find the closest, best looking reviewed. And I look for, you know, they have a La Marzocco machine or they got a Senesso and I beeline it for that place. But yeah, Europe is way better for coffee or Australia or, you know, Japan. Most of those places are dialed in.
Yeah. We still need to get it together over here. Help us out, Brent.
there's a new machine that I'm discovering everywhere. It's called the Slayer. I don't know if it's new, but I'm seeing it everywhere. And Slayer is coming on. It's coming on strong. I'm in Jacksonville right now, and I've been doing a coffee tour all day. I got brought over to a place called Flamingo, and they insisted that I try out this espresso at their place, which is a Slayer machine, and it was amazing.
Nice. Yeah.
So backing up a little bit, Fitzy was the first real major coffee guy that I met. And then you were telling me, you know, hey, you always want to go into and check out their espresso machine because then you know that the owner loves coffee and that they're investing in it and the whole thing. And so now I'm finding that I'm researching the cafe, sure, but then I'm also poking around to see what they're working on for gear. And I'm finding that that's part of the journey now. It's going like, oh, they got a shit machine. So they just clearly just threw it up thinking people will drink anything. So,
or God forbid they have something that has buttons you press that says latte. And it's just those are the worst, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I found that just going to enough places, I started to see the similarities of like the places I like the most. Oh, seems like there's always a La Marzocco machine. That's the wording I'm seeing in front of me as I'm waiting for my cup. I'm like, oh, okay, good. And then I actually got a little, I have to admit, my education, I mean, I've probably been into being like seriously researching and traveling the world with, you know, intent to discover more things about the beans and you know, and people and different places and countries. It's been over a decade, but it hasn't been my entire life because growing up where I'm from in small town Canada, we drank filtered coffee. Actually, it started with going to my grandparents' place and we would drink instant like Sanka or something with tons of milk and sugar. And that, you know, that was my introduction to coffee. But I always liked the culture and the idea of socially drinking coffee at a coffee shop. And, you know, you spend enough hours, and I'm sure you did, Ray, growing up, you know, in where are you from again?
A really small town outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
And you probably drank brewed coffee in a small, you know.
It was Maxwell House at best.
Yeah. And that's just what we grew up on. And maybe that's, you know, from our, you know, when in those days, you know, it's a little more common now to have better coffee shops available and stuff. But in my growing up, it was very simple. And then as I started to expand by having the luxury of going to travel and play in different countries and continents and go experience things, you know, just food and coffee and everything, then it be kind of, I just started to realize, you know, hey, you go to Italy a few times and you realize, oh, it's next level here, or Australia.
Yeah.
And then I started to educate myself, but it didn't really happen just by being in the States or something touring in Canada. Once I started to travel the planet a bit more and have that, you know, that special chance to do that. And now I'm just kind of like, I'm not a highbrow coffee expert by any means. And actually, the way I got really educated fast, because I was ordering latte after latte after latte, and Derek Sharp, is my coffee guru, and he sings, he's the singer in the Guess Who, and he's not the original singer, but he's a dear friend of mine from Toronto, and he has a La Marzocco machine in his kitchen, and he has educated me more than anybody on the planet. And he started to tell me, he goes, why are you having lattes all the time? Actually, the reason we did some touring together, and that was it. We were on these coffee quests, and he started to tell me about, he goes, you should try a cortado. And I was like, well, I don't know what a cortado is. And the second I got hip to the cortado, it changed my palate and my whole idea of experiencing coffee, because I always thought espresso was a bit harsh, like, you know, like I always wanted to, you know, color it a little bit with some milk and a latte. I was always cool with not drinking it with sugar. But then I switched to the cortado and I was like, that's my benchmark now. So he got me into the cortado thinking, and I go to every coffee shop now with the intent of like, well, if I get them to make me a cortado, I should be able to get through and, you know, really decide if you know, hey, if this was a good experience, you know, good barista.
You should explain that to the people that might not know what that is.
You mean the cortado and what it is? Well, it's like, it's basically a one-to-one, as much espresso as there is milk. So it's a smaller drink. It's a lot, it's a very much, you know, it's like a shot. It can often come in a shot glass, and mm-hmm. the amount of coffee, it's strong, but, and some people might want to add sugar, but I've trained myself to get off sugar and enjoy coffee just for its, you know, its true form. And sometimes I'll enjoy just an espresso. And, you know, if I go to Starbucks, you know what I'll have a Doppio espresso. You know, if I'm running through the airport and I'm kind of like, I'm not going to have that venti, you know, double shot latte thing. That's just it's a milk drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a milk drink.
Agreed. So, yeah.
Hey, where do you live in? Have you ever been to 8th and Roast? In Nashville?
Yes. I'm down in Franklin, so I'm a little bit south, but I do go into the city quite a bit. And there's a lot of bean shops opening up now in the last couple of years. I have been to that. It's really good. Yeah, there's definitely some places. Too many people are moving here now, so things are popping up everywhere.
So, Ray, what's your coffee, like daily coffee journey like, Brent? You know, what are you guys, are you waking up? And I know, Brent, you asked him about waking up and going to, you know, starting your day with it. But on your days off, are you researching like I am? I'm trying to find the best coffee places in the world. Are you guys doing the same? Or is it sort of like whatever's there, we're going to do? Or are you making it part of your routine? Like, because I know, yeah, Brent, you are. Yeah. I know Todd touched on it in his interview. So
I definitely will go venture out and I'll get either a runner at the venue to take me somewhere. Or, you know, I always ask the locals at the hotel, concierge or somewhere to find out. Like Fitz, you were saying before, in Europe, you don't have to look far. I mean, there's your hotel lobby coffee will blow away most American coffees. But I definitely am searching for that. You know, I found that, like, you know, Corn's fortunate enough to stay in some nice hotels. And the a lot of times the bean there is straight up pretty good. You know, I'll start off, I'll test the bean getting an espresso. I can tell a lot just by taking a sip of whatever the bean is. And that'll tell me if I'm going back there or not, you know, kind of thing. But I'll definitely Google and I probably don't get into as much as you do, Brent, but it's you know, I'm definitely I keep forgetting you guys are both named Brent. So when I address that, it seems like I'll say Fitz and Donnelly from now on. It's like the law firm of Fitz and Donnelly. But what about you?
Great coffee.
But what about Hey, Ray, so, but you guys are ahead of me. Like, you're in the business of coffee. I'm in the business of right now enjoying and you know, I'm,
well,
you guys are actually selling coffee. And, you know, so that's a whole other thing. Is that going on tour? Are people able to buy, like if I went to the show, am I buying coffee there or do I buy it online? Or
wow. Yes, we will trip you until you buy a dark. Now, yeah, we definitely sell them at the venues and we're selling them online. You know, it's that whole thing where we're pretty new at it. So we're still, we sold quite a, like a bunch of bags. I don't want to give the numbers out, but I'm pretty impressed with how we're doing with just fan responses and online, you know, on the Korn website. You can go to kornwebstore.com and buy it there. And we just released a brand new blend called Wired, Korn Wired blend. And it kind of takes off from the theme of the Nothing record with the dude hanging there in the strings. If you look at the Wired coffee bag, it looks just like that. It's my absolute favorite blend right now. I mean, I'm not just saying that because I'm part of the company. It blew me away. Like when the first time that our partner Jeremy Gersey brought it to us, and he really takes his time. You know, you're asking me if I'm educated on the. I'll be honest. I don't know a ton. I know that I love, you know, what I love, kind of thing. But Jeremy is a guy that gets really scientific with it, and you know, our whole thing about our beans is. The beans that are roasted they never hit the basin of the roaster. So a lot of that burnt taste you taste at some coffee places is because of that. It's the beans sit on the roaster, and some people like that taste. I mean, people are so used to Starbucks now, and it's when you taste someone like he's so artistic and creative, Jeremy Gersey, that when you taste his beans and you taste his coffee, you're just like, your eyes cross. It's so amazing. You're like, why is this so good? And he's like, if you just take a little pride in what you do and really focus in on what beans you're blending and how you're roasting them. And if you just take the time, that's how you get amazing results. And it takes a shoddy coffee company to an extremely high end one, you know? So I'm really happy we partnered with him because me and Monkey are basically the big coffee drinkers. Fieldy will have a little bit here and there. Head hates coffee. John can't stand it. So it's kind of funny because we're at the tasting for the first round in Vegas, and Head would be there for the interviews, and he'd go running outside. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I had to get some fresh air, man. It smells like coffee in here. I'm like,
oh, I love the smell of coffee.
I'm like, oh.
Fitzy, they're set up in Vegas, so I got to make sure you get over there and see Jer, because I told him about you guys living there, and
he's
all about having you guys in to check out what he's doing over there, which is really cool, and it's a really great style of, as Ray said, it's a great method of roasting that's also really great for the environment too.
Yeah, totally, full bloom. Yep.
So it sounds like a Korn Wired blend with a lever presso. Sounds like
yes. And I just made a French press this morning of it, and I haven't done that yet with the new blend. And I was pretty blown away because I just made the straight up coffee pot in the last couple of days. I've been off tour, and I'm like, wow, I'm impressed with that. So I'm going to French press it. And then, I want to, you know, that we're trying to, the big thing these days is the Keurig, and it's kind of a, to someone like Jeremy that's high end like that, he's like, don't insult me with your Keurig things. And
I know,
but I know. Unfortunately in doctor's offices, dentists, everywhere you go, there's a Keurig machine sitting there in the lobby. And what people do, it takes 8 seconds to make yourself a cup. And that's, so, you know, we're getting beat up a lot about that lately. If we're going to go that format, I don't know that it will, but.
Well, and again, Keurig is very popular in America, but not so much when you go to the rest of the world. So I get it. I mean, I have made many Keurigs coffees in my time at studios and whatnot.
Sure.
And sure. But I love telling people if, you know, the average person who might not even care about, you know, coffee specifically, but I say, hey, if you're going to actually be at home and instead of brewing it with a, you know, a regular Mr. Coffee type pot with a filter, I always tell people, you should just go buy the $20, you know, Target, go to get a coffee Bodum, you know, one of those just, you know, a French press, and you'll be so happy. And they're like, really? French press? I'm like, yeah, it's funny how that's not as common because, you know, we always put a French press on our rider. For like, we'll have like, if there's brewed coffee thing, they'll be there, backstage. Like I've been out the last year, with Slash, and every day I see there's always a French press there. So somebody was nice enough. Maybe I requested it a while ago. Hey, can you have a French press backstage? But
yeah,
that's always great. It's just, you know, you've got a boil some water, a kettle, that's not hard to get, with a nice, you know, already ground. And if you can grind your beans at home, even with a better grinder, then, you know, don't buy that crappy $50 grinder. Buy the, you know, the Encore, you know, $200 item, and you're in the game. And just with a French press, and you're good. You know, get some good beans, and then just, you know, grind them, get whole beans, and then grind them up right before you put them in your French press. And that's better than anything, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. It's definitely, I need to do that on our rider, because we just have a juicer on there right now. You just gave me a good tip for the next tour.
Yeah, I think every band should have a French press and a kettle, and then ask for some local beans or something that are either, you know, if they have to be pre-ground, fine, because you're not necessarily going to be able to grind them backstage with a good grinder unless they have access. But that to me is like the best thing. And it's great because I've been poaching all these great little bags of coffee if they don't get used, and I put them in my road case. And then after a run of dates, I go to go home, and I'm like, man, I just got a whole bunch of beans. Like, I had this massive, one of my dear friends from Italy brought me some stuff that was, you know, freshly ground from Verona. That was one of our last shows a couple months ago. And I'm that's what I'm using at home here right now, is like, these beans are just beautiful and
heaven.
So rich and just flavorful. And so I'm at home here and I'm just French pressing. That's it. I'm very just good. Having my own party at home here. And I haven't had to actually go down the street to any of the great, my favorite, like, you know, local coffee shops, because I've been just brewing coffee at home.
Yeah.
Actually trying to change from, you know, because I've been around the world, as are you, you know, in all these places. I know, Brent Donnell, you've already been to 3 places today. I get it. But I'm kind of digging at home.
Caffeinated. I'm absolutely caffeinated. And actually, the funny part is, right, you were mentioning Maxwell House. Jacksonville is the home of Maxwell House.
Ah, amazing.
So how about that? So there's all that going on. And the guys that I was with today were like, hey, we got to try to get you a tour over at Maxwell House. And I'm like, all right, well, then let's just add that to the list, I guess, of things to do.
You're putting Maxwell House in the Chemex and French press.
Right. And which is crazy. Now, have you guys ever, I know it's been a while since you guys have spoken, like, as far as, but have you crossed over on gigs this year at all? Or have you guys sort of, like,
no,
you know, Fitzy, you're playing Friday, Ray, you're playing Saturday or something like that? Or have you guys really just kind of like crossing?
That's unfortunate. Like, I remember a couple years ago, Fitz, there was a show that we were pulling up that you guys were on stage, because I remember hearing this. It was right in the middle of Sweet Child of Mine. I'm thinking, who is killing that? Because it sounds amazing. And of course, you know, your singer is one of the best out there. And I just remember going, I didn't know they were playing today. And I ran over and caught like the last 3 songs. But that every once in a while, that'll happen on a festival or something. But we haven't toured together.
No. But the festivals are great. And Brent, you've been over now to the European festivals, right? And seen, or if you haven't, like Ray and I have just
it's proper rock, my friends.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean, and they do have them in the States, but the European festivals are just next level. Oh, yeah. And you know, there's and when the funny thing is, you do a festival, and then 2 days later, you end up in another country at another festival, and you're like, oh, high five, how's it going? You see each other backstage again, you know, and then you get to play to like anywhere from 50,000 to 100,000 people at these amazing European festivals, and. It just sort of depends on what bands are touring that, you know, cycle on their records. And so we just did an album cycle, and you guys have been on one, and we just didn't end up, like, our summer festival dates didn't, I guess, just we weren't on the same festivals or the same days or something. And that's just the way it is. So
the way it goes. I mean, we did that Soundwaves thing in Australia a few years back. And,
right.
And, oh, you know, yeah, that was. Yeah. Yeah. And there was like a neighbor of mine. I lived in LA, I guess it's 5 years ago, because I've been in Nashville for 5 years now. But that I saw a neighbor of mine there on all those shows that I never see in LA, because you just, you know, LA, you don't see anyone. So it's like all of a sudden you're on these festivals, and it's like a big family reunion because you see all your buds. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is awesome. And speaking of, you said Australia. So when people ask me about coffee and like, where is the best coffee in the world? I don't even hesitate. My answer is always Australia. Yeah. And I mean, as far as a culture and the entire nation, the doesn't matter if you go to in the airport, in a restaurant, or just a quick little kiosk, it's always good. And everybody knows how to make a good coffee there. If it's a flat white or a long black, or, you know, even Starbucks has incorporated the flat white into their menu, which is you know, from that part of the world. And I always ask, you know, people in coffee shops, not that I'm quizzing them or something, but I'm like, you know, like a lot of people think, well, it's got to be Italy. That's the best, you know, that they must know their coffee. And yes, they do. But in my experiences down there, that's like Melbourne is my coffee city. That's my top spot in the world. And you know, it's up for debate, but I'll say that place is my favorite.
That's I'm with you on that. It's definitely in my top. There's something, I go to Japan more than any other country. I've been there probably 35, 36 times. Only because I teach at music schools over there and I tour a lot. And so for a while there, I was going 3 times a year. So I really, really got to know many places. I felt like a local there after, you know, that's definitely one of my top places. We just played it in Turkey about 2 years ago, and that made my eyes cross. I've never, you know, you always hear about Turkish coffee, but
oh my gosh, I love it. Oh my God,
dude. I was like, literally like, I just stood still for a good 30 seconds. Like what just happened to my brain because what I just tasted. So it takes a lot to make me do that from all the coffees throughout the world, you know? So those are definitely my top two, I'd say, you know, with Australia.
Yeah, I agree. Any sort of Mediterranean countries where you can get a, you know, just a strain of a Turkish version, you know, like, you know, in the little cup, the little pot that they serve it in. And usually it's pretty sweet, but
yes.
You can sometimes get it cut with half the sweetener in it. But I like anything, you know, if it's not going to like make me cross-eyed, I can't drink it. I don't like weak coffee. I love Cuban coffee. I love like, and you know, Japan, it's pretty strong. You know, it's good. It's like the intention is, you know, you're going to get, you know, it's going to wake you up. And I drink coffee all day long. So I'm not really particular about like, yes, I drink coffee in the morning and it's just my go-to to before I even make a sentence. But, you know, later in the day, I always enjoy coffee. And even later at night, I have no problem with it. So I love drinking coffee in different places. Like maybe I'm crazy, but I'll drink a Turkish coffee at like 10 at night and deal with the consequences.
Okay. You're nuts. Cause I'm a mass insomniac. I have really bad insomnia. So, and I don't know if it's the caffeine or what, I just don't sleep, or I sleep in like 1 or 2 hour increments and I get up and it's really annoying lifestyle, but that's, so I try not to drink coffee past 6, just in case that's part of the culprit.
Unless you walk past my office, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You walk past my office. It's like, you ever see that? It's like that scene, like you walk past the office and then you kind of go, you walk past and then like, 8 seconds later, you kind of walk back and then peek in going, what's going on in here? And then I'm like, all right, I guess I'm breaking the lever press. So here we go.
It never fails too. Donnelly's always like, every time I pass your office, it's always like, no matter what morning, noon or night, you know, it's like, you're like, hey, Ray, hey, have you tried this one? Check this out. Hey, check this. And it's like, you'll be like in the middle of doing all this business corporate stuff. And all of a sudden it's like, no. This is really important, this bean right here. Check out what I'm doing. And you should explain what you made with the cup thing in catering. What the heck was that all about? You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I was traveling with the Leverpresso. I was making like the portable espressos. I also had an AeroPress I'm traveling with.
Yeah.
Which I was making. I think that's what you're referring to. So Fitzy knows about the Tim Wendelbo place in Oslo, Norway, which is renowned as like the top AeroPress cafe in the world.
Which I recently got to attend and go to, thanks to Brent Donnelly.
It's the best. Which, this is the insanity, by the way, Fitz, because you were the coffee guy, but here we are directing you around the world. But it's the AeroPress, which is, you know, basically people feel it's one of the things that makes one of the best coffees in the world. And you can make it any style. I learned how to make an espresso inside of it. With one of those old spice jars I was experimenting around. But one of the first days that we had a new shipment of corn coffee, and I think it was in West Palm, Florida, actually, Ray.
Yeah.
I actually was making the corn coffee with the AeroPress. And so Ray was just sitting down visiting with his friends and whatever it was. And I was just kept dropping cups of coffee in front of him.
So good.
So I don't know if you had a click track going that night, but I'm pretty sure you blew it out. We just kept blowing coffee out, like, you know, just giving him coffee all, you know, just try this one and try this one. And Yeah. And then, like, you know, Head would come over and he'd be like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I'm making AeroPress." He's like, "Oh, if I loved," he goes, "if I loved coffee, I'd have some, but just give it to Ray." So I gave it to Ray. So Ray just kept getting the AeroPress all the time. And it was just a funny gag. And then it would suck because, you know, if I had actual work to do, I'd be in the process of making the AeroPress. And then, "Oh, can I have one? Oh, can I have one?" And then it just started.
I still don't get the whole thing of people that don't like coffee at all, or I don't really understand it. But then again, that's, everyone's got their own taste. And I'm one of those weirdos that's never done a drug in my life. I never really got that either. So
me too, Ray. You know, hey. I maybe we're rare, but the thing is, coffee is promoting good rock and roll because it's a positive stimulant. And to me, it's like, you know, you want to have an exciting rock and roll concert, and to me, having a coffee before a show is a perfectly good excuse to have a good show. I make sure I have a coffee.
Don't do drugs, kids. Just drink coffee.
That's right.
Great chat with these guys. They gave me an hour. We've had to break it up into two parts. So make sure you join me next week. Huge thanks to Ray's wife, Aspen, for coming on board at the beginning and speaking about Rebel for a Change. Make sure you check it out online. Make sure you keep sharing, liking, all the things you got to do. Win yourself a brand new Leverpresso. Just 2 weeks left. I'm going to announce it in episode 11. Until next week, my friends, thanks for joining me.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Kids, I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous.
Or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network. Or on our YouTube channel.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because democracy is something you do.